God is like that father in the parable. He's looking for you. God forgives us of the past. He will never bring up our sin again. Never too late to turn to God. Welcome to Revelation. This is the classroom of the air, bringing you truth for today. I'm blessed that you've joined me today as we study God's Word together. I've been praying for you, and I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Today is our fifth and final lesson in our teaching series called Follow. For the last month, we've been studying the words of Jesus to see what it means to follow Him. We've learned so much about following Jesus Christ, and if you happen to have missed any of these lessons, I want to encourage you to visit my website at www.revrcw.com. There you'll find that you can watch the past episodes from Revelation. You can also download the teaching sermon notes and the study guide so that you can take this message and study it more deeply on your own. During this teaching series, we've been focusing on following Jesus Christ. And today, I want us to look at one of the most famous verses about following Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." May the Lord bless the word to your hearts today in Jesus' name. I love this verse because it gives us a promise of what will happen when we follow Jesus Christ. You know, most of the time, we focus on what we will gain or how our lives will benefit by following Jesus. But this verse talks about how others can also gain. It talks about the influence and impact our lives can make on others. You see, making the choice to follow Jesus doesn't just make a difference in your life. It opens the door for others to follow Him too. We are born again so that we can reproduce. We are saved to serve. We are called to imitate Christ so that our relationship with Him will bear fruit that remains. That's why I like to say the cross always turns a minus into a plus. In your own life, the cross turned darkness into light. It turned death into life. And so too, now that Jesus is in you, others can benefit through the life of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 4:19, this is the first time Jesus ever called anyone to follow Him. And it's significant that in this first call, He talked about the consequences of following. He talked about the fact that we can expect results. You see, we've understood that to follow Jesus, we must make a choice. We've learned that we must pay a price. We understand that following Jesus requires us to follow the Word of God, that we must hear His voice and follow Him. But now we see that when we do those things, there is a creative force God has placed inside of us that will allow us to bless others the way Jesus has blessed us. For you see, when you follow Jesus, it will happen that you will become a fisher of men. Jesus made that promise. He said, "I will make you a fisher of men." When the cross comes into your life, there's an added value in your life. And when Jesus is in your life, there's an added value to others. For disciples always make disciples. After 3 years of following Jesus, He gave His disciples a clear command in Matthew 28:19. "Go and make disciples of all the nations," He said. It was understood that followers would reproduce other followers. If you're following Jesus Christ fully, then others will come to know Him as well. So let me ask you today, are you reproducing Jesus in others? Well, you may never have done that before, but let me tell you today how you can do it, because it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not how you preach, it's how you live that matters. When you follow Jesus, you'll get Jesus results. Let's look today at three results of following Jesus Christ. First of all, living like Jesus results in more life. The first step to becoming a fisher of men is to live like Jesus. For you see, when we reflect His life in our lives, it will result in other people wanting to have Jesus Christ in their lives. The fact is, I'm called to live just like Jesus. 1 John 2:6 says, "Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." And here's something we've got to understand today, friend. Living like Jesus is not optional. It is God's destiny for you. For Romans 8:29 says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that the Son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Even before you were born, even before you became born again, God put His hand upon you and said, "I'm calling you and I'm destining you to become like My Son, Jesus Christ." Well, what did Jesus live like? What was Jesus' life like on earth? I think it's interesting to note that Peter and John lived with Jesus for 3 solid years. They spent every day and night together with Him. They were closely related to Him. And yet they were able to say, "Here's the Lamb of God, without spot or wrinkle. Here's the Lamb of God, who's perfect. He was never accused of lust, never accused of lying, never accused of bitterness or revenge." That's how Jesus Christ calls us to live as well. Would those who are closest to you, those who live with you day and night, be able to say the same thing about you? It may seem like a difficult challenge or a lofty goal, but this is why Jesus Christ died. He died not just to get you to heaven, but He died so that you could become just like Him. He didn't die just so that you could become a nice person or a good person or a religious person. He died so that your life could be transformed and that you could live like Jesus so others would see Him in you. Once there was a man who owned a valuable piece of land in the middle of a large city. The city had grown up and been built up with tall office buildings all around this man's property. But he still had a simple mud hut with a grass roof on it in the middle of this great city. One day, a wealthy businessman came to the owner of this land and this hut and offered him a huge sum of money to buy the land. The man who owned the land thought about it and said, "Well, if you want to buy it from me, first I'd like to fix up this hut. I want to put a fresh coat of mud on the walls and I want to replace the grass on the roof." Then the wealthy businessman said, "Oh, you don't understand. I don't want the hut. I want the land. In fact, when I buy this land, I'm coming with a bulldozer to remove the hut entirely." And so it is with us in Christianity. Jesus Christ is not asking you to fix up your life. Christianity is not all about self-improvement. Christ is not looking to renovate your life as it is. He's coming to remove the old life and put a brand new life inside of you. He wants to tear down the old and put up the new. And that's the only way you can become like Jesus. If you were a car, God would want to control your engine. If you were a computer, He would be your operating system. If you were an airplane, He would be the pilot. But you're a person, so God wants control of your heart so you can become just like Jesus. Why is it so vital we live like Jesus? Because it's only by living like Him that He can reproduce His life in us. This is how Jesus reproduced Himself in others. He lived in communion with His Father. The secret to Jesus' life was that He focused on His Heavenly Father. He had power and authority because He lived in communion with His Heavenly Father. He reflected the image of His Father because He remained united with Him. Listen to John 5:19. Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does." We can see the example of Jesus spending time with His Father in Luke 5:16. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And just as Jesus reflected the Father by staying continually in His presence and doing what He saw and heard from Him, so we also will reflect Jesus when we're united with Him by spending time together with Him. See, friends, being like Jesus is not automatic. Change doesn't come into your life by some magic or supernatural experience. It's not by an anointing or by prayer. It comes by you spending time with Christ, waiting upon Him and worshiping Him. You can be just as much like Jesus as you want to be. You could be the most Christ-like person in the entire church. Jesus had union with His Father, and his Father's life and image were reproduced in him. And so it is for us. You can become like Jesus when you spend time with him. I will reproduce life as I follow Jesus. That's the secret Paul discovered in his life. Listen to what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. The life I now live in this body, I live by putting my trust in the Son of God. Paul understood the secret that by having Jesus live his life in him, he was going to be able to spread that life to others. This truth reminds me of two friends I had in the ministry. Both of them took vitamins and drank tonic. Both of them tried to convince their friends to also take vitamins and swallow tonic. But one of my friends was very skinny and lean. He had no muscle at all. And so when he would come and try to sell his tonic to us or convince us to take vitamins, we all laughed at him and said, "No, Mike, we're not interested in following your example." But my second friend was very macho. He had huge muscles. He was very athletic. And so when he came along and tried to sell us his tonic or convince us to swallow vitamins like he did, we were all eager to do so. We all wanted to be like him because we could see the difference in him. We could see the result of that tonic that he was drinking and the vitamins he was taking. And so it wasn't difficult for him to persuade us to follow his example. So it is with us in Jesus Christ. If you would live your life like Jesus, men would be running to you, hungering to know the secret to your peace and to your joy. You don't need to attend an evangelism seminar or program. You simply need to live like Jesus. That's why Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." But friends, let's be frank today. Following involves action. It means you've got to get up. You can't stay the same. You can't stay in one place. You've got to get out into the streets and into the community and tell people about Jesus Christ. You've got to reflect his glory in your workplace, in your education, school, in everywhere you go. You've got to live like Jesus so that his life will reflect through you. That brings us to our second truth today. Loving like Jesus results in more love. Just in the same way as we're called to live like Jesus, we're also called to love like Jesus. Listen to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God tells us to live a life of love, not just to perform deeds of love. God has called us as Christians to be full-time in the spirit of love as he loved us. It's not a one-time show. It's a daily lifestyle of love. How can we accomplish this? Well, let's look at how Jesus did it. The secret to Jesus living a life of love was that he focused on others. Look at his example in John 13. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, the Bible tells us. And think about this situation for a moment. Washing feet was reserved for the lowest of all the servants. If there were two servants in the house, it was the junior one who had to wash the feet. Yet here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bowing on his knees to wash the feet of his followers. Hands that shaped the stars were now washing away dirt. Fingers that formed mountains were scrubbing toes. But not only that, think about the timing when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. It was the night before he was to die. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew what awaited him, that he would be beaten and whipped and tormented and tortured. He could have found it easy to think only of himself, but instead, he thought of others. He thought away of his disciples. He was washing not only away their dirt, but washing away their doubt. You know, if I were about to go on trial for my life, I confess that I would want other people to come and minister to me. I'd want people to encourage me or to cook for me or to serve me. I would want my family around me telling me words of inspiration and hope. But Jesus fulfills all love by focusing on others. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not self-seeking. And even though he knows that the feet he washes will run away from him in just a few hours, he loves them anyway. Those same feet he's washing will carry those disciples away in betrayal. The feet of Judas will come to bring soldiers to arrest him. And yet Jesus loved anyway. And I can love when I serve as he did. John 13:14-15, Jesus commanded, "And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." So let me ask you, friend, what would happen if for one day Jesus were to become you? What if he were to sleep in your bed and live in your house and wear your clothes? What if he were to go to your working place? Your boss was his boss. Your landlady was his landlady. He rode in the tro-tro you ride in. He ate at the chop bar you eat at. He played football with the friends you played with. What if he loved and served others through your body? What would change? Would people notice a difference? Would your friends sense more joy and peace? Would your enemies receive more grace and mercy? Would your plans for the day change? Would your priorities in spending money change? But see, that's exactly what it means to follow Jesus. He lives through us. His love, his service, his anointing operates through us and spreads his love and life all around. It doesn't take striving. It just takes being close to Jesus. That's the lesson we learn from the story of Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. Richard Wurmbrand spent 14 years in a prison because of the gospel. During that time, he had the opportunity to see firsthand the eternal power of a life of love. At one time, he met a fellow Christian who was in prison for his faith, and he asked him, "How did you come to be in prison?" Then the man told him, "I used to be a special police agent. I was in charge of interrogating and persecuting pastors. But one day there was a pastor who was sentenced to death, and he asked to see his wife before he was executed. As the officer in charge, I was present when they brought the wife in and they had their final conversation together. And the prisoner's last words to his wife were, 'Know that I die loving those who kill me. My last request to you, my wife, is that you forgive them and love them too.'" This former prison guard said, "I was so shaken by the power of love, I became a Christian as well." Friends, do others see the power of love in you? Could they be converted to Christ simply by watching your lifestyle? Oh, how desperately we need a revival in the church today. How desperately we need to put off our sin and selfishness and become like Jesus. That's why the Bible says, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. Let's stop living self-centered, selfish lives, fighting one another to promote ourselves. But let's walk in the steps of Jesus and live as he did. To do that, it requires us to do the third thing, losing like Jesus, which will result in more gain. You see, in the kingdom of God, things are often opposite what they are in the ways of man. In God's kingdom, the greatest is the servant of all. In God's kingdom, the weak are strong. In God's kingdom, we gain by giving away. And in God's kingdom, the way up is down. In God's kingdom, we gain life. When we lose it, we multiply by dying. And loss is gain. That's why Jesus said in John 12, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." And Jesus is our example of this truth, for the greatest impact he had was when he laid down his life to save the world. Had Jesus not died on the cross, his impact would still have been great, but not as great as it was because he died. He would have been counted as a prophet like Elijah. We would have listened to him, but not worshipped him. Had Jesus not laid down his life, he would have been counted as a good person who helped the poor, like St. Francis of Assisi. We would have admired him, but not followed him. Had Jesus not suffered and died, he would have been counted as a miracle worker, like Peter or Paul. We would have sought his help, but not his salvation. But Jesus did more than prophesy. He did more than help the poor and heal the sick. He was more than a prophet, more than a good man, more than a teacher. He's the Savior of the whole world. And for one reason and one reason alone, he laid down his life. His greatest impact came from dying and rising again. But that one act changed the world. That one seed falling in the ground has brought forth a harvest of multitudes beyond number in the kingdom of God. And so it is in your life as well. The greatest impact you will ever make is when you lay your life on the altar and surrender to Jesus Christ. When you lay down your life, you will suddenly receive power and authority. You will move to a new level of influence. And in that knowledge, you can find the strength to follow. For you see, the cost of surrender may seem high if you focus on the price, but if you focus on the gain rather than the loss, you'll willingly lay down your life. That's what Jesus did. He focused on the results. He kept his eyes on the prize. He realized that everything he was passing through on the cross would result in blessing. Hebrews 12 says, because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. It was you he was thinking of when he was beaten and whipped. It was you he had in mind when they forced the rough wooden cross on his back and made him stagger through the streets. It was you and all of us that Jesus saw when they stripped away his clothes and nailed him to the cross. And we can worship him today because he paid that price. The Bible says he looked ahead for the joy that was set before him, and he saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saw the multitudes from every tribe and from every nation gathered around the throne worshiping him, and he realized that he would gain so much more. John 8:12 says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And friend, it's the same for us. We will gain so much more when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused not on the price you pay, but on the glory that waits ahead. For he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Live like Jesus and you'll reproduce life. Love like Jesus and you'll multiply love. Lose like Jesus in this life, you will gain and in the life to come. Friends, the command to follow does not require more reflection. It requires a response. Will you follow Jesus? Will you live like him? Will you love like him? Will you give up your life like him, that you might gain his life, his love, in your heart today and throughout all eternity? I want to take a moment to pray with you right now. No matter who you are, no matter where you're listening or watching this program, I believe the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God and speaking to your heart right now. And I ask you, as I pray, simply lift up your hands to God and surrender to Him. Just say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life today. Come inside of me. Fill me with your life. Fill me with your love. Let me live like you. Let me live for you, that all the blessings and benefits you have for me and for others through me will come to pass because of your great grace and because of your power. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, if God has spoken to you, if He's touched your heart today, I want to encourage you to write to me. You can go on our website and send us a praise report, a testimony of how the Lord is using this program to minister to you. Don't forget also, on our website at www.revrcw.com, you can find the notes for today's teaching. You can watch the previous episodes of Revelation. You can download the study guide so that you can take this message and study it more deeply on your own, in your own home, or in your own church. I want you to know that it's our heart's desire that God will transform your life through His power and through His Word. That's why we're here at Revelation. That's why I want to invite you to join me next week on this station, this very time, for another exciting lesson from God's Word so that you can receive revelation that will set you free. Until then, may God richly bless you, and goodbye for now.
The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The Lord is God. Let us exalt His name together.
Accra, let's adore the King of Kings. Come to the night of adoration at Agape House.
Join us for an evening of absolute worship and praise.
Leading worship and praise is the Heart Song Worship Team and special ministration by the Global Praise Choir.
Join us this Friday, October 19th, from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Agape Land, near the ANC Shopping Mall in East Legon.
Come with family and friends. It's free.
This program is brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry through the generous support of our partners. Watch Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb each week at the same time on this station. For more inspiration, visit our website at www.revrcw.com.